Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of Hustle Culture Dropout. I am your host, Chastity Campbell, and I am here with my sister from another mister, my lovely, lovely business coach, and just all around good time gal, Allison Carter of Allison Carter Celebrates. Allison is a personal branding and visibility coach, and she is also the co-owner of Ultimate Product Party, which is an annual conference for product-based business owners, and just basically where we all run every year to basically have like a super fun, incredible party, good time with our friends, and obviously also take away some knowledge on how to run a business. So welcome, Allison, to the podcast. I'm so excited that you're here.
Yeah, thank you for finally asking me to be a guest. Been waiting.
Yes. When Allison actually was like, when am I going to be on your podcast? And I'm like, well, when are you going to pitch to be on my podcast? Because pitching is her jam.
That's fine.
So yeah, then I literally was like, okay, you're coming on the podcast. Here's the link. Make it happen. Find a time. And now here we are.
And I'm so excited. The thing that you were meant to do that I just shoved you off the cliff and made you do it.
So yeah, you really did. You legitimately were like, why is this not happening in your life as most of the things that you've helped me with my business?
Yeah. That's kind of my thing. I'm kind of really good at picking those things out of, let's think about that a little bit more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You have this sort of innate ability to immediately connect with people, and my experience with it is more, these are the things that I'm thinking, and you can see into my brain and I know what you're thinking. You just have to actually like regurgitate the information and do it, you know, and you're really good at finding that with people and kind of digging around in there. So, but I want to start from the beginning with you because I love your story, because it really sort of starts in a more traditional sense in, you know, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be this. And then one day you sort of wake up and you're like, not so much. Maybe that's not the path for me. So why don't you just quickly just do us a little introduction, and then we'll just dive in and just tell us how you got from point A to point B. Like, what did that look like for you?
Okay. Sit back and pour a bevy and let's go on it. Wild ride. No, I'm just kidding. I have no sense of humor, by the way, either. It's very serious. Right. I am a personal branding and visibility coach. I run a company called Allison Carter Celebrates, and I help you get eyeballs on your business. And I really, at the core, help you be yourself and make money on the internet with like out selling feet pics. Or if you do, that's totally on you. Totally fine. You do you.
No judgment. No judgment.
And I can also help you scale that. So, you know, there's a lot of options that we're working with here. But I just really think that business is most meant to be fun and leaning into the things that you are wildly talented at. And I can help you uncover the things that you are wildly talented at if you are feeling like, what is that? And create a business that is sustainable for you and however that looks with your family and doing all the things. So I have had many hats and many businesses in my journey to where I am now, but I'm a mom of two. I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and I live in the Seattle area. I'm married to my high school sweetheart. And like Chastity said, I have another business. I have an annual event that I host that is hundreds of business owners coming together every year, learning about scaling and growing their product-based business. And at the heart of everything I do is teaching, which success leaves clues. I was a second grade teacher for years. I only wanted to grow up and be a teacher. That was it. That was what I told everybody. Plain school was my favorite thing in the whole world. I wanted to be a teacher. I went to school to be a teacher. I was a teacher. I taught second grade, which is just the best of the best. My son is now in second grade, and I'm obsessed with this teacher, and I just like love the little stage. And I loved being a teacher. I have my national boards in early literacy. I have my master's. I am obsessed with reading and writing and that aspect of teaching in particular. And I was a really great teacher. I really was. Like, everybody wanted to be in my class because, shocker, I had the best parties. And I celebrated all the holidays as the fun one. And so people were always like dying to be in my room. And I was on the leadership team and I chose curriculum. I created my own curriculum and I just lived that life and decided to quit when my daughter Evie was born because I just liked her more than I liked the other kids in my class. And parenting as a teacher, I don't know how people do that. And now teachers that are parents are my version of superheroes. It is hands down the top two hardest jobs you could ever have, teaching and parenting. Yeah, so absolutely. Yeah, stay-at-home mom doing that life for a while until Hudson came along. And then I had these two kids and no sense of self whatsoever because I was like playdate mom, party mom, and walking around the neighborhood with my friend's mom and really was just like mom, and doing nothing. And so Hudson was born. It was almost his first birthday. And I was upstairs in our like bonus room when both kids were napping. They were 3 and like 6 months old at the time. And my girlfriend sent me a text on our like group Facebook Messenger. We didn't even have like a group text. It was so annoying. Like, who likes it? Barf. It was like all my mom friends.
This is just like completely dates, like completely like takes you back because like you're like mom. when we actually just talked on Facebook, like that's what we did.
That would like, that's how you did group text. So weird. Anyways, so we did that. And so one of my girlfriends is a like really big corporate mom for Microsoft and she has a big job. And she was one of the few of us that was a working mom. Most all of us had chosen to be stay at home moms. And she was asking about what we were all doing for the kids' birthdays. Their first birthdays were coming up. And so I was like, oh, this is what I'm doing for Hudson. And this is the date. And we all kind of had our second babies around the same time. So we were kind of like claiming weekend dates for like the parties. And she's like, I don't even know, you guys. I don't even have the capacity to plan Charlie's birthday. Like, I don't think I can do it. And I was like, I'll do it. I love planning parties and I'm not really doing anything, you know, outside of parenting these two kids, but I would love to plan.
That's nothing.
Yeah. You know, I'm just like bored. I'm like watching Housewives right now, eating like a PB&J probably. And I was like, I'll plan your party. And she was like, what? Why would you do that? And I was like, because that sounds fun. Like that. If I could use my brain for something right now, other than like Sophia the First, I would love to do that. Right. So I planned, and then I thought, well, how the hell am I going to plan someone else's party? Like, I don't want to do the party. I want to plan the party, but all the ideas are in my head. So how am I going to like convey them to someone else? So I opened a Google PowerPoint, which I didn't even know Google had a PowerPoint version. It's called Google Slides, by the way, for anyone. Pulled that up and I created like a PowerPoint presentation. This is before Canva, for these things that I was creating, these party plans. And I put all of this fiesta ideas into a Google Slides doc and I gave her my ideas. I linked everything. I set the table. I pulled all of the like buy these plates and these cups and do this little first like game for the kids or this.
So this was like basically like full on party plan, like start to finish. Here's your, this is what to buy. This is the whole thing.
This is what Charlie's going to wear. This is the banner for the high chair. This is the backdrop. This is the cake that you're going to send to the baker. Here's the baker. Like I did everything. And she's like working mom. She doesn't have time to go to the store and like look for something similar. And that's actually the worst part of Pinterest is all of these cute ideas, but they don't have the actual item linked like on the blog post or in the picture. So you're like, right. I love that table. Where the heck am I going to find that runner or that centerpiece or whatever? And so I just dissected all of these ideas and I linked them all to Target and Amazon and maybe a couple Etsy things thrown in. And so then I gave it to her. I was like, here you go, I planned it. She was like, what the hell is this?
What? She's like, wow, you really aren't doing anything over there with those two kids.
Wow. Life. Okay. So she's like, holy crap. I thought you were just going to like send me a couple ideas, but this is like a blueprint for my party. And I was like, yeah, well, I didn't know like how else to really do it. And so then a couple other girlfriends were like, well, I want to see it. Will you do mine? And so then I like was like, okay. So I kind of started building out these party plans, and they were like, you should totally sell these. Like, I think that this is something that people would buy. And so I started selling them, and I started running this random party business on accident that people started paying me like to plan these parties in this way. And oh my God, I would do so many things differently now what I know.
But hindsight's always 2020, but
so scrappy and thrown together, and it just randomly built from one thing to the next and turned into a podcast that turned out to be really successful, way more than I ever thought it would be, and led into a subscription box where the ideas from the podcast, my listeners were like, bring them to life. I'll buy them. Send them to me. It was called Memories and Moments. And Memories and Moments is a book that my mom wrote when my sister and I were little. And she is like the holiday OG mom. And so I took that name from my childhood and I turned it into a podcast and really kind of represented the special occasion moments and turning up the volume on the everyday stuff into the podcast. And then the subscription box sparked from there, and that really took off in COVID. And so it just is kind of wild to see this evolution of when I was little, I just was like planning parties for all of my friends and playing school and teaching, and then wanted to be a teacher and doing all the fun holiday parties and the crafts and the fun things when I was a teacher, and then brought that into being a mom and then built this business off of this skill set. And now what I do with business owners is really teach them how to pull out their unique strengths and all that goes into that. And it's really wild that that teaching gene or skill set is still very much there. It just, I'm teaching grownups instead of 7-year-olds. I love those kids so much, but it just is cool to see how those little clues are left and how these things get built. And I never, ever, ever set out to be an entrepreneur. I actually never wanted to be an entrepreneur. My parents were entrepreneurs, and I watched and have some childhood issues that I currently work on with my therapist of what that was like growing up in a home with entrepreneur parents, where the life of an entrepreneur is very up in the air. It's very roller coastery. And it's like, okay, income one month is totally different than another month. Like, and it can be a lot of fluctuating and a lot of like putting yourself out there for not a lot of payback off the bat. And I watched and I kind of learned that that was a really stressful thing. And that seemed really hard. And I have a personality where I don't necessarily walk into hard things willingly. I'm kind of an escape artist that wants to run the other direction the second something gets serious or hard or scary or sad or anything like that.
And so it's called avoidance.
I'm an expert avoider and a little Houdini when it comes to the emotions. And I grew up never wanting to like have that. Parents are very successful, but it still was, you know, not successful when I was younger at the point where it is now. And so it was like the payoff was great, but the building of it was just really tough. And that was not something that I wanted. And I did never wanted that stress. And so I had to deal with a lot of things that I still deal with, honestly, of money stuff and putting yourself out there and taking so many risks and the bravery that being an entrepreneur like entails. And how I deal with that in a much more open way, like with my kids or my marriage, that I didn't necessarily have as an example growing up. And that, you know, it just is weird how sometimes you have control over where your life goes. And for the most part, you really have no control over, like,
right,
things fall in your lap. And it's up to you to say, like, yeah, let's try this out. Or like, nope, that door is closed and let's go open another door.
Right, right. Well, and I think one of the biggest things is that, I mean, absolutely, whenever you grow up in a, you know, I mean, it's the same as growing up if your parents are teachers or your parents are doctors and you think like, oh, that's what I want to do. Like, mm-hmm. I'm aspiring to do that. It can be the same as when you watch them do something that you're like, this is, I mean, obviously, like, it might not be like traumatic, but mm-hmm. I would assume and can testify to the fact that it's just not like a stable sort of thing. Cause like you said, like, it's change and kids don't always do great with change, right? Like, a lot, like, kids need routine and they need this, like, kind of safe little bubble environment. And so when you see something like that, and then you think, like, I want to do the exact opposite and I'm going to do whatever it takes to do the exact opposite of that. And then having this idea of what I think just in general, like, we put so much pressure on kids or as young adults to decide, like, what do you want to do when with your life? And like, let's pick something. And then suddenly I feel like that is what I'm like married to for the rest of my life. Well, I chose this, so I need to like continue on this path. So did you ever feel like that with teaching? Did you ever feel like, well, this is what I've dedicated my life to. This is what I went to school for. This is like, I've invested this time. I've invested financially. I have poured into this. Was it then a transition that you were like, no, I'm cool with this? Or was it something that you kind of struggled with, like feeling like,
this might not be crazy? Majorly with the decision to quit. And then after that decision, I felt really like okay with it. But I always anticipated at that moment where I quit that I would go back to teaching. Like, when my kids were going to school, I also would go to school. Like, that's just what I always thought was going to be that path. But yes, I was like, this is what I know. This is what I went to school for. This is really the only like serious job that I've ever had. Like, this is what I was supposed to do. Like, I've always wanted to be a teacher. And now I'm like a mom and I love being a mom. And we were obviously in a situation with Ryan's job where I was privileged enough to be able to stay home. And that was the financial choice wasn't a huge impact on our family, which I'm obviously wildly grateful for, that I know that not everybody has. And so, but again, we just always thought that I was going to go back to work at one point. And then I just didn't. And now looking back on it, oh my, I can't even imagine being a teacher now. Like, I was always breaking rules anyways, like, but I was really good at my job, but I always like, no, I hate this math curriculum. This doesn't even make any sense. I'm going to write my own. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do this. No, I don't like that rule. I'm going to do this. And now looking back, there's no way I would have been able to teach in COVID. In living in Seattle in particular, no freaking way. I would have broken every rule. I would have gotten in so much trouble, like, just never would happen. So now I think, like, good God, now I get to be a volunteer at school and now I get to read with kids every Friday and I can be library helper and I get to be involved in the kids' school. And I have a different mindset when it comes to the education system in my kids' teachers. Yes, they can do wrong and we can get into some arguments or different things of how they handle situations or whatever, but they are God's gift to this earth. And if they need anything ever in terms of supplies, snacks, financially, help, whatever, I am the first one to say, we are on your team. You are like the best of the best. Whatever you need, our family will always step up and be the person that will offer the support, because I know your job. And I know the work and the emotional toll also that your job entails. And so, you know, yes, the decision was hard, but I would all make of it the again. Roads led to being my own boss. Every job I've ever had, I got And I pushed back on people telling me what to do. And it just, we shocked? No.
No, no, exactly. And for, you know, my listeners out there and people who are listening, that is literally like what you have built your brand on is basically like you live by your own rules. You do your thing. If everybody is saying this is what you should be doing, which in, you know, when you're running a small business or you're an entrepreneur, there's all sorts of crazy expectations and ideas of like, there's a right way to do this, or that this is what you should be doing. These are the steps that you should be taking to create this business and to make it successful. And you are like legit, like, but if you don't want to, why would you be doing that? Like, I know that's a... And it's true. And it's, this is legitimately, and I've told you this story before, is like, that is legitimately how I ever discovered you. The first time that I ever interacted with you on the internet, on social media, was because it was my first year in business doing my candle business. And I was freaking out because it was the holiday season. And I was like, I have to have all of these campaigns and I have to have all these Black Friday deals and what I have to do this and I have to do this. And I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And none of it felt right. None of it felt good to me. It really felt sleazy to me, and I just didn't like it. I didn't like it. And not only that, but I really didn't fully understand or have the capacity to even deal with it. Mm-hmm. And you posted something about like if you don't want to do that, like then don't. And, you know, like obviously, like you said it way more eloquently than that. And it was like probably a cute little picture of you and, you know, doing something fun. And I'm like, well, who the hell is this girl? Like, this girl is my person.
This is the person
that I needed to like just put it on the internet and say, you don't have to do that. Like, you don't have to follow those rules. You don't have to take this like traditional, conventional path to achieve whatever it is that you want to achieve. And I think that that's like, I mean, you saying about how, even how you operated as a teacher, sort of like marching to your own beat and like doing that, like that's just sort of like the thread in your life that you do. Yeah. And you talk tons about being authentic and showing up as yourself, like on the internet. Like that's all what you teach. That's all what you preach to everybody. And that's what your brand is. And I think that it is so important, not just as a business owner and an entrepreneur, but I like, those are just things to apply to your life, like to your personal life. Like, it's almost like I know that like Johnny and Betty down the road are remodeling their house and they're taking their kids to these are the summer activities they're doing, and this is what they're doing, this is what they're doing, and that's what we should do because that's what everybody else is doing and that's what, you know, society has said we should do. And it just, you fall into this like pit of self-comparison and then like trying to keep up with people and like constantly feeling like you're behind or you're like not doing it right. And it's just this incredible struggle. And so I love that like literally how you show up in your business is just who you are as like a person. Like, and it sounds like that's like really how you've always been. Like, you know, is there ever a time or was there ever a point in life when you were like, you know, like you struggled with that? Or was it, were you just like, no, this is just who I am and I'm always going to push back and I'm always going to ask questions and that's just who I am? I mean, I know the answer to this.
Yes and no. I do. I kind of have that quintessential story that everybody has that was like, I always got in trouble kind of for being myself when I was little because it was like too much or the energy was too loud or I talked too much. And so, I mean, I did kind of learn that I do have to kind of mute some parts of myself for in different incidents and stuff. And so, yes, but then on the other part is I just really think comes from being like confidence of age also, like that as you just start to become a mom and you're also in charge of these other little people. And I feel like I'm at my most confident now because I have two kids that are very much like with it. I don't have little blob kebabs anymore. Like I've got real humans that deal with real things that are looking to me to show them the way, which feels very scary. I feel like a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
The biggest fear ever that I have is like doing something to my kids, which is going to happen. It happened multiple times, and so it is whatever. But I feel like I have to be leaders for them. And I do have this platform online, and I do have this presence in my business of being that leader. And so sometimes it doesn't feel great. And sometimes it isn't comfortable. And sometimes it is really vulnerable and I don't want to. And sometimes I don't. And most of the time I do anyways, because I know that if I'm feeling some way, then someone's feeling that way like tenfold. And there's somebody that just needs that permission. And there's somebody that needs to cut the noise of all the bullshit that is online in this, especially in the online business space of fucking income screenshots and like wild success that seems like it's overnight. And I deal with real people with real businesses that are like, what? And I'm like, that is so not normal. What you are doing is normal. And I think the biggest approach that I have that is different than most people that are teaching in the online space is I lead with myself, and that attracts the people that it's meant to attract. And I think the biggest mistake that business owners in particular make is that they cater themselves to the people that are following them, and they create for other people instead of them. And I solely create for me. And if you're with me, you're with me. And if you're not, that is totally fine. Like no hard feelings whatsoever, but this is my life. And this is the way that I spend my time. And this is the choices that I get to make because my name's on the door. Your name's not on the door. And so I get to do these things and I hope that it hits the right people when they need to get it. But if it doesn't, that's totally fine. And that I think is if people made that shift, they would see such a massive release in tension and frustration in their business. Because what happens is you're constantly building these products and these offers that you're hoping that your people are going to resonate. I hear this, they're asking for this, so I'm going to create this. And we're told to do that. We're told to do these avatar worksheets, and we're told to really speak to that one person and then create for them. And then when they don't buy, we're like, oh crap. And then we have this business that we don't even really love all that
exactly
much because we built it for somebody else. And if they're not buying, then we're like, okay, great. Why did I just do that and spend all that time or all that money creating this thing that you said you wanted, but you're not even buying? And then that becomes a whole huge spiral of frustration. So like the safest and the best thing that business owners can do is to build the business that they want to build and to create the products and the offers and the way that you show up and serve that is literally what you want to do. Do you want to create that program? Great. Create that program, serve, build an audience. And the people that are meant to find that are really going to be attracted because you are attracting them with your energy and your education and your entertainment and your tips and your ability to connect and relate to them with what they're actually struggling with versus leading with what you're creating in hopes for other people. And I mean, that really is a life lesson in anything. It's like,
absolutely.
Living your life for other people. Then you're constantly little by little losing yourself. And I've seen right now in particular, business is really hard right now. Business landscape is really hard. Marketing landscape is really hard. Finance is really hard. Like it is a hard year for small business owners. And on top of all of the other things that are being really hard, they're losing themselves in their business because they're not doing some things that they really love or feel really like confident at doing. And so it's just this little like dual pounding of these poor people that maybe things don't always go the way that I want them to go in my business. And I'm someone who likes instant gratification. And if something doesn't hit right away, I'm like, oh, what's happening? The world is ending. I hate my life so much. This is the worst. But I also love what I do and I love the products. And I know deep down that they always do well and they all, it always works out. And I've never had go wrong when I'm creating from me and what feels good to me and what is aligned with me and my values and my strengths and my gifts. It's always worked out. And the times in my business where it has not worked out is because I've been creating for other people. And I just have to continually remind myself that I have my own business and I have my own strengths. And as much as I would love to replicate successes of other people out there, it just is not going to happen because that's their story. And my story is totally different. And those of you that are listening, your story is totally different than my story and Chastity's story and all of those other people. So it really at the heart of it, it starts with you. And it is it's that confidence to know that what you have to put out there is worthy of somebody seeing it or hearing it or relating to it, buying it, which is a big mindset hurdle.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that whenever you said like you create your content or you have created this business and this business model around like you and the things that you like to do, because you, ultimately, like you said, like you're the one that has to answer. You have to live in it every single day. Like you have to show up as this person every single day. And I think to myself so often, because I'm like spinning in my mind about so many times in my life where I have thought that, you know, somebody else either has it so much better than me or they're being more successful, you know, than I am or whatever. And I want to like latch on to whatever, like if I only just do these exact steps and it even outside of business, like what, if I just do the same plan, I'm going to lose all this weight. Or if I like these things, all these people will like me and they'll come hang out with me and be my friends, you know, like whatever. Yep. And then you end up like living in this world that you don't even like. Like you legitimately are like, this is not who I am. This is not, why would I pretend to like this stuff? So I bring more of that into my life and now I have to like live with it. And then you're freaking miserable. Like legitimately, you're so miserable. You've lost yourself. You've lost your values. You've lost what you want to focus on. And or people that even you want to spend time with or whatever, like the things that you're putting out there and how you act and how you live your life is truly who the people that are going to gravitate towards you, right? Like the people that are going to come into your life. And can you imagine if you like showed up on the internet every day and then you had all of these coaching clients and people that you had to now like spend time with at a retreat, or you had to like coach them for like 6 months or whatever. And you're like, I don't even like these people. Like, why would I want to? Like, that just sounds miserable. And I think that it's just a true testament to authentically listening to yourself, listening to your own voice, listening to what it is that, you know, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are. And it's okay. I mean, I think it's really hard sometimes, again, going back to like running a business, but it's hard, especially in the beginning of running a business, because you think you need to be professional. You think you need to show up and you need to like trick everybody into thinking that like, you know exactly what you're doing. And because if you don't, like what credibility do you have? Or this is like the mindset that you get into, like who's going to buy these things from me if I don't have all the answers, or who's going to come to my retreat if I don't have all of the things figured out, right? And you just start like then getting yourself into the spiral of like pure misery. And yeah, it just can be really, truly like debilitating and just kind of suck the joy out of everything.
Yeah, which is the worst. And then you're like, why am I even doing this? And like, I also understand that it's like, just do what you want and be yourself. And all of that is like, okay, cool. Like this, that comes with a lot of freaking work, and a lot of work goes into intentionally and strategically building a business that is sustainable. And yes, I always lead with myself, but I also like have that ability to connect with my audience. And that is really the heart of every successful business, is your ability to have or create things, offers, content, videos, conversations where they leave thinking, wow, she sees and understands me, or I see my story reflected in her story, or I see what that desired outcome that I'm looking for in what she teaches, or something like that. Like the power of a good business is you are doing things that feel really good for you, and you are creating from that place of your strengths that are aligned with making you money as well, while also really being able to relate to your audience. Because I know, and through the audience and the community that I've built, I now know what is going to go over well and what isn't going to go over well. And both things, I'm like, I could do this or I can do this, and both feel great to me. But what do I think is going to be the best for my audience? And you do get to a point where both of those start to align. But as you're first starting to build that audience, it really is rooted in you and what you like and what makes you you, and what books do you love, and what foods do you like, and what music do you like, and who are you? Are you silly? Like, show that. Do you think you're a comedian in a past life like I do? Like, show that. Like, be yourself. Like, and I think people get really confused with, well, I don't want to have my whole life on social media, or I'm not an influencer, or I don't want to show my kids or whatever. But there are certain parts of you that you can show and that you can expose with the intention of having that potential customer or client or friend see themselves in your story and relate to you and be able to connect and actually use social media for social purposes and to really just build a relationship. And going into a friendship, pretending you're being someone else, doesn't ever work. Going into relationship, romantic relationship, pretending you're someone that you're not, is the same exact thing as being a business owner, pretending that you're someone that you're not. It's just is never going to work out in the long run. Just like that relationship is never going to work out. Something is going to exhaust you. Your wheels are going to be spinning. You're going to be burnt out by the end of it because you're continuing to try and make something work that just is never going to work. So just don't do it in the first place.
Right. Exactly. I remember this story of a lady that I used to work with many years ago, and she talked about how she and her husband had been married for, I don't even know at this point, like 15, 20 years or something. And she said every week she prepared a menu, and it was basically like the same meal every night. So Wednesday was spaghetti night. And she said, like, one time, like after like 20 years of marriage, her husband finally was like, I don't really like spaghetti. And she's like, I'm sorry, come again? Like, what do you mean you don't like spaghetti? We've literally been eating spaghetti and she was like, I don't even really like spaghetti that much. But for whatever reason, you know, she had like committed to the spaghetti thing. And finally, the poor man had spoke up. And she said, I remember early on in when they were dating that he said he like I don't know, they were trying to go like somewhere to get something to eat, and she really wanted to go eat pasta, and so he agreed to it and got spaghetti or something, even though he didn't even like really like this. And so he just carried on the charade for like I mean what a gem of a guy.
A nice man, good marriage.
To just be like, but I mean, you know, you think about that, like, okay, I mean, this is really like, eventually it's you know, something has to give. Like, something's got to give at some point.
Totally. And there are instances where they bring great things to your life. Like, my subscription box is a total example of this. Is my audience asking for something. I did not want to do it. I never wanted a product-based business, a physical product-based business. I didn't want it. I didn't want the inventory. I didn't want the ties to, like, my house. Like, I didn't want all that goes into a product business. It's just not what I wanted. But I had hundreds of people asking me for this thing, and I did it. And it was Halloween, and it total flop. And I literally was so mad. It was not a pretty situation. I literally took to the mic, and then I took that off because it was not good. And I was like, you asked for this. It was like so bad. I was like,
so you basically got angry with them?
I was so mad.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
I was like, you asked me to do this, and you built this with me. And then when I went to sell it, it was crickets. What happened? I was so mad. And then I took it down because I was like, that was a little extreme, but I don't like to be burned. That's another thing about me. And so anyways, so I did this for Halloween, and then it was like, fine. And then people kind of started to buy it, and I was like, whatever. And so I was like, well, I feel like I have to do Christmas to like give it a go. If I'm going to build out a holiday subscription box, I need to give Christmas a go. See how that goes. Christmas like flew off. Like, it was huge, hundreds of people. And I was like, holy crap, now I have to like stuff all these. And then I had to like do the box and make it. And then I made it a subscription with a reoccurring thing. And then every month I was tied in to this product that, yes, I loved. It was like a toxic relationship. Yeah. Like, I thought I loved it, but it was so much work. And it was so much time. And yes, it made me lots of money, and I had huge credibility from it, and I got a ton of media features, and I really built my business as this like celebration expert, and it really helped a ton building out my business. But I didn't love it, and it was constantly this work that I just didn't love, and I just wasn't lit up by it. And it was fine, but it was for sure 100% created for other people and not something that I would have done on my own. And when I closed it, it like shocked everybody, because in everybody's mind, it was this big successful thing. It was going great. I was loving it. I love showing those crafts every time. I don't even fucking like crafts. Like, I'm not a craft person. Like, I had this subscription box. I love holidays and planning and all those little moments, but it's like, now I'm a YouTuber, like a holiday. It just created this thing for me that resulted in some great stuff. But at the end of the day, it just wasn't what I wanted to do. And I was building this business that I was like, what does this actually look like to scale? Like, did this mean office space, warehouse? Like, is that the business I want? I don't know. Right. And so when I closed it, it was like an uproar. And I was like, it just felt.
Yeah, because you didn't close it. Yeah, you didn't close it. Like you weren't just like, oh, nobody's buying this crap anymore. Like, you shut it down, and you had like hundreds of boxes, right? Like, yeah, you had
it
like.
When it was like in its prime. Yeah. And I just was like, it ain't it anymore. And I was doing UPP, and I was coaching, and I was doing all of these other things that really were lighting me up and really was like fueling that part of me that was like, oh my gosh, I am so in my element right now. I love talking to these people, and I love helping them find success and building out these businesses and getting their businesses featured in media outlets and teaching them how to do all that. And that was so fun. And then after Groundhog's Day again, every week was the same in that business. And routine is not something that really is aligned with me. I like the flexibility. I like spontaneity. And so the first of the week was like, introducing the new box and then selling it. And then I had to prep everything and buy everything. And then the moms that I hired came to my house, picked everything up, prepped them. And then last week was packing week. And then it was shipping week. And then it was like, start all over again. And it was right. Like, oh my God, what did I do? And so there's definitely instances where I have had great success for creating for other people, but ultimately it didn't work out and it caused so much more stress and it caused a huge strain with my kids and my marriage because it was like taking over our house and always pulling me away, or I can't do that, or I can't go on this vacation at this point because I have to do this for the boss. It was just like, ugh, that's not the life that I wanted to build. And shocker, it was because I built it for somebody else and it did huge, great things for my business, which I'm hugely grateful for, but it wasn't something that I was going to be able to sustain like some of the things I'm doing now. And it's, that is being a business owner, is you do not know until you try for literally anything. Everything in life is one big experiment where you are just, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Like, okay, let's try. Let's give it a go. I'm all in. I'm going to commit. Okay, that wasn't it. And when you are building a personal brand, people are watching. And that doesn't necessarily feel good when they're watching and you are not feeling that great about yourself, or you are feeling kind of like a fraud, or you are failing at the thing that you are sharing and so excited about, and it's not necessarily going all that well. And that's just part of it. And I wish that there was more examples of people that really shared the whole scope and the whole overview of the whole story. And this was a dark day in the business time. This was a great day. But you know, we see the highlight reel so much more than we do the other parts. And it's just really honest conversations like this that more people need and more people need to witness and be part of, because at least they don't feel like it's just them. And I think when people feel like this is just me, or why am I the one feeling this in an already lonely profession, it just is like a recipe for a disaster. And I hate that so many people struggle with different things that I hear literally all day. I'm on the phone with people and I hear the same story over and over and over. And I'm like, you're so not alone. I just got off a phone call with someone that was the exact same story. And they're like, really? They just don't have those examples. Yeah. So it's like, if I can be that example, as uncomfortable as it is sometimes, I'm willing to do it and I'm willing to lead the charge and be brave, take the risk. What happens?
And here's the thing. And I mean, in the brief time even that I have known you, the thing is that even though you might be resistance, or you might like having change or pivoting or letting something go that just doesn't feel right anymore, it's not to say like you just wake up and you like snap your fingers and you're like, oh, I'm just not going to do it today because I just don't feel like it. And then that's going away. Like, there is a difference. There's like a struggle. There's a whole kind of like turning inward and having, you know, conversations with yourself, with others, whatever, checking in and figuring things out. It doesn't mean that a pivot or a change doesn't come without thought. But the thing is that it can happen. And at the end of the day, like, it's okay. Like, it is okay to just say, this is not working. This is not for me. I really liked a lot of aspects. I liked a lot of parts of this business, or I liked a lot of parts of this program or whatever it is that you're doing. But it ultimately was not going to sustain me. I was not going to be able to do that. And then being okay with that, and being okay to even admit that openly and say like, yeah, like, it's fine. And I don't know where this, like, I feel like there's a lot of people who have like so much judgment against that, or maybe that's just something that I've created in my head. But I think we get so fearful of, again, like looking like a failure, or looking like we are flaky, or we're not successful, or whatever it is. And you shy away from that, when in reality, literally everybody is doing that. Like, everybody, like, at some point you just, you can, you just,
change happens. Like, it's literally just inevitable. And you have to, and you have to be okay with it. And I think you've done a great job, and you do a great job of just modeling that, like, in your personal life, in your business, for so many people to be able. I mean, I know it's hard. I always get really super proud of you when you put, like, something up that's like, this is me being feely, or this is me, like, whatever. And I'm like, yay, look at her talking about her feelings, because I know that's so hard, right? But, like, you legitimately, like, I know that's hard for you. And so it's, but it truly does, like, it does so much good. It does so much good for other people, because I think sometimes it's just like, oh, well, I show up here and I do this, and it's so easy. I have people tell me all the time, like, no, I really want to, you know, do this, but I can't show up on stories every day. Mm-hmm. Yes. Legitimately me 1 year ago. Yeah. 100%. I don't want to show up on stories every day. I don't want to show up sometimes, like, you know, yeah, and that's fine, and it's okay. Yeah. I mean, but it's like you just keep doing it, or you get more comfortable with it. You do push yourself out of it, but it's also okay to, like, if that's just not for you, and accept that and move on, and, you know, be, you know, doing something else. And I think you do a really good job of just living authentically and helping other people just connect with that and bring that out in your brand and your business and your personal life, as a mom, as a friend, all of the things. I love that about you.
Thank you.
And we legitimately wouldn't even, like, be connected if you weren't, like,
I know,
so real.
Well, and I have so many more stories like that. And so that's the, like, the double-edged sword of,
yeah,
you do the hard thing, or you put it out there because you know you're not alone, even though you feel like you're alone. But when you do that, so many, like, opportunities can come from it, and so many amazing relationships can come from it. And relationships that matter are rooted in something bigger than just fun. And I can, one of my, like, limiting beliefs is, like, that, like, fun, not serious, like, flaky, like, I'm here and I'm here and I'm gone with the wind, and, like, things like that. So I can be that sometimes in life. And I do want to be taken seriously. And I do run two big companies that are taken seriously. And it is something that is one of those things where I was like, okay, I can't constantly be like, I am the fun friend and I am the good time gal and I am all of those fun things, but there's also more to that. And there's the things that are more to that are the things that really have built my business, because they're the things that have allowed people to see themselves in my story or what I'm doing or my life, or relate to me on an actual human connection level. That really has skyrocketed my business. And I just wish that more people have the confidence or the willingness to try that, because it's not easy and it's not hard and it's not enjoyable all the time. And if I don't feel like showing up, then half the time I don't. Like, no one is forcing you to do anything. You're the boss. You get to decide what you want to do with your life. But the willingness to be a little bit more vulnerable is not going to make you lose credibility, or it's not going to be like, oh, well, she's a dumpster fire, we're out. Like,
yeah,
it's going to actually do the opposite. It's just, you got to rip the bandaid and kind of do that. And that part is hard. But like you said, pivoting is part of life, and pivoting has brought so many gifts to my life. Like, I mean, if I went back to teaching, I would, oh my gosh, I would have this whole other life that I got to experience that I just would never have experienced. That would be wild. Like, and I also am such a different parent than I feel like I would have if I stayed in my traditional job of teaching, and, you know, probably put way more care into what my kids do down the line. Whereas now I'm like, you get to do what you want to do. And how is that? Isn't that so powerful? Like, and I would love for them to go to college and have that experience, but you don't need that for life really anymore. Right. And so it's like, there's so many things now that I have expanded on in just you know, my mindset and the way I approach things, and things that I would really stress out about just aren't that serious anymore. Or things that I put so much effort into, I'm like, oh my God, what a waste of time that was. Like, it's just, you know, priorities shift when you pivot. And when you really lean into the things that feel good, you are able to release so much of the things that are just taking up space, or that are just so right. not needed, or that are not big in the scheme of things. And I just feel like it kind of helps you put that in perspective just a little yeah. bit more. And those are the things that I feel really happy that I am skilled at, that I do get to model for my kids, because I see so much of myself when I was younger in both of them that I don't want repeated in certain things. Now be aware of and be like, oh my gosh, let's not do that. Let's do this instead, or let's work through this in this way instead. And I would never have known that if I hadn't been confident and brave in some of those pivots and following something that was feeling good, or putting myself right. out there or whatever. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us this week. So fun. Thank you so much. Tell people where they can find you on the internet.
I am Allison Carter Celebrates, two L's in Allison, not Celebrates, anywhere. That's my website. That's my Instagram. And all the places. That's where I hang out, in all the places. So come say hi. And I just love your pod so much. You're doing such a great job.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Being that little friend in the earbuds that everybody needs. And I'm so happy that they get to have you as a mentor and just a little friend in their corner. It's so powerful. And that is 100% your secret sauce. And I love watching you step into it and finally share more than handles with your people, because you are such a rad person and Aww. Friend and mom and wife. And I just love that you're letting everybody see that now.
Oh, thank you so much. So thank you everybody for tuning in this week and coming to Allison and I's Love Fest.
Oh my gosh. We'll be here every Wednesday. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes. All right. Thanks so much. Thanks, Allison. Appreciate you.
Bye.
All right. That's it for this episode of Hustle Culture Dropout. I'm your host and real life bestie, Chastity Campbell. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Leave a 5-star review if you loved it. Don't even bother if it's anything less than 5 stars. You can also follow me on socials at Chastity Campbell Co. or check out the website at chastitycampbell.com. Until next time, here's to living our most radically authentic and unapologetic lives. Thanks for listening.